Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and joining us this morning, 30 years into his tenure as president and CEO of the Tyler Economic Development Council, we welcome back Tom Mullins. Always great to visit with you, Tom. Glad to have you with us this morning.
Thanks, John. Great to be here.
Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/infocus. In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Tom, great time to have you here because earlier this month you celebrated 30 years in Tyler, and then there was and still is, as always, a lot of good news to share, a lot of which we're going to be hearing this morning. But let's go back. And it's interesting, 1989, that was the year I moved to Tyler, worked for a couple of radio stations that no longer exist. And I had come up from Palestine, Texas. You had moved from Rochester, Minnesota, and you got here about a month before I did. And I remember interviewing you, I don't know how many different times over the last 30 years. But let's go back to that. In 1989, the Tyler Economic Development Council got up and going, and there were some very good reasons for that at the time. Let's kind of tell that story.
Let's think about the history of what prompted that organization, this organization that I've worked with since 89, Tyler Economic Development, to get started. It was in response to the energy decline of the 80s. And what the leadership in the community said, look, we've been on a yo-yo economically for decades. When price of oil is up, we're busy. When it's down, we're hurting. We need to diversify. And some diversification had happened historically. I mean, you know, Bryant Heating came here in the 40s. It became Carrier. General Electric came here in the 50s. It became Trane.
Trane, right.
Kelly Springfield came here in the early 60s. It became Goodyear. And Tyler Pipe was a homegrown company that had been here before all of them, back in the 30s it started. So there was a manufacturing base, but it was still a strong tie to the energy sector, and the goal was to try to help diversify the economy to a greater extent. So that became the mission, and that's what we started working on. And I came here in June of 1989. I actually agreed to take the position in March of 89, but didn't make the move until June.
Mm-hmm. So there you were in 1989, all set to go. And what did you see in Tyler at that point? What were some of the first things that you felt needed to be addressed at that time?
Well, Tyler was pro-business, but it wasn't pro-economic development. And there's a difference. I mean, historically, Tyler promoted itself as an attractive city with pretty neighborhoods and flowers and brick streets that people should want to live here because they had such a nice quality of life. But the reality in the late 80s, it was losing population. Businesses were closing. The economy was in sharp decline. And to become involved in economic development the way we propose was going to involve creation of incentives or what we call a tools of economic development to compete for companies that might be looking for relocation options or expansion options or startup. That hadn't existed before. Using those aggressive economic development tools was new to Tyler, and that's the type of program that we put in place.
Okay, going to the website, and we'll give that information out right now. Talking to Tom Mullins with the Tyler Economic Development Council, it's TEDC.org, phone number, same one you've had for 30 years. I've long since got it memorized, 903-593-2004, also an 800 number, 800-648-9537, and basically just reading right off the website. It's a nonprofit organization that promotes the creation and retention of primary jobs for Tyler and the diversification of the economic base to expand employment opportunities in the region. There are some key strategies involved, but your organization also does a number of different things. Quickly here, let's go back. You started out with about 20 members in the early going. You're now up to 122. Let's look at that from an economic standpoint. From $140,000 in assets in 1989, you're up to what, more than $9 million now?
Yeah, $9 million balance sheet. We're kind of unique. You know, we're not part of a government structure. We don't work for the city or the county or some combination. They do contract with us to do their economic development. They don't have their own offices to do that. But we're a nonprofit, investor-supported organization. And we started with a small number of investors, 20, and they had pledges of up to $140,000 to support getting the office opened and the staff going. And now we've grown to 122 members or investors, and we have a balance sheet that's over $9 million. We own three different business industrial parks, two on the Southwest Loop, one up by UT Health Science Center near I-20. We operate a revolving loan fund. We own property downtown. We share ownership of the current Chamber of Commerce building and parking lot with the Chamber.
Yeah.
So we operate in a very business-like manner, although nobody associated with us makes any profit from it. They support our efforts to grow and diversify the economy and create jobs. And so you mentioned in your intro there, John, the word primary. A primary job is with a company that trades outside of East Texas. They can be making an air conditioner. They can be making software. They can be making any kind of product, but selling it outside of our regional economy, multi-state, national, international. When you do that, that brings new wealth into the economy. It's the first dollar in, and that dollar multiplies. It'll support vendors and suppliers and retailers and service sectors and the medical and educational communities. So by focusing on that mission, primary job creators, we've been able to add a lot of diversity to the economy. And now, instead of being so dependent on energy as we were back in the late 80s, we now have energy. It's still important. It's just not as big as part of the economy as it was. But we have processing, manufacturing, distribution, technology. We're a regional hub for medical education. 23,000 full-time college students here. We have we're an attractive tourist destination. We're retirement friendly. We have a lot of ways to bring new money in the economy now that were fledgling when we started. Some of them hadn't even been considered, and now are really contributing to a strong growth pattern for Tyler Smith County.
Mm-hmm. And that's the next point I was going to make. Year after year, internationally known economist Ray Perryman comes in as part of, I guess, his statewide, maybe even outside the state, tour, where he assesses the economy for Tyler and the state and the nation. And it's always good, and specifically, it's always good news for Tyler.
Yeah, he's a Tyler, Lyndale native. He grew up in Lyndale and graduated in the early 70s. Very brilliant economist. Comes to Tyler in January and does what he calls the economic outlook. Now, he does this outlook all over the state, but it's really helpful when he comes here. And consistently over the last 15, 20 years, he's looked at what's going on in Tyler in terms of the growth of the economy and diversified. And he's projected Tyler's five-year moving average of regional gross product, economic growth, to be stronger than the U.S., which is projected to be about 2.6%, the state, which is projected to be about 4%, and East Texas, which Tyler Smith County in the center of that growth, which is projected to be over 4.5%. So that's good information for us to know from an independent third party, Ray Perryman, an economist who works in this arena all the time.
Mm-hmm. You've used incentives on 180 projects to bring in nearly 11,000 jobs and retain almost
15,000 retained.
And retained almost 15,000 jobs, yeah. And the incentives have also helped to bring in about $1.1 billion in new capital investments. You do a number of things. There's a lot of collaboration. If you go to that website again, tedc.org, it's a good rundown of the different things that you do in the community and about how you reach out to people here and there and even internationally to get involved with what is being done here in Tyler. But I'm looking back, and the very first project that you did under your main rubric, which is basically expanding
primary
bringing, primary activity, where you create incentives. How does your basic incentive package work for? Well, for example, like for Sanderson Farms, which is your big project right now, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes.
Yeah. Well, incentives are used as ways to attract companies. We compete with other cities. We compete with other states for projects. And you mentioned Sanderson. Sanderson was looking for a fourth location in Texas. You know, they're based in Mississippi. They have operations from North Carolina all the way around to the west here in Texas. The first project was over 20 years ago in Bryant. Then they did one in Waco, and the most recent one a few years ago was Palestine. And they were looking north and east of here and north of the Dallas metro area. But they had a very influential customer here in Tyler, a homegrown company that's grown just amazingly called John Soul's Foods.
Yes.
John Soul's came to us and said, you know, Sanderson is looking for another site in Texas, and they really should be looking in our area because we have great highway infrastructure, we have a large labor market, we have quantities of good quality water, basics for a food processing company to consider. So we got on their radar screen and made a contact and with Sanderson late in the year, I think in 2016.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, and then it started. And they came to us early on and said, look, we've done the preliminary analysis of the quality of the water and the volume of the water in your area, and it's good. It's positive. We like the Interstate 20 corridor. We think the labor information from the Tyler Smith County labor shed and the Longview Gregg County labor shed and the intervening counties would be good for us. But here's our deal. We want free land, and we want 10 years of tax abatement.
Mm-hmm. Tax abatement, the key word that always comes to my mind when I think about what you do.
And that's a very common request. You know, companies ask for that. That was kind of the starting point. Well, we didn't have access to, we don't have access to half-cent sales tax money that a lot of cities in Texas do, where they use it for cash incentives. So we had to take it out of the money that we had saved from selling property in some of our other business parks. And we went and bought a 500-acre piece of property. And then we went to the taxing entities and we negotiated a tax abatement that did spread out over 10 years, although it was not 100% because this was such a big project. We told Sanderson that we would give them a less than 100 and phase it down over a 10-year period. So we have 7 years at 80% and then the last 3 years at around 50%. And they accepted that, and the tax entities supported that request. And so now that company is up and operational. When they get fully operational in August of 19, they'll have 1,700 direct employees located near Winona on I-20, Lindale also on I-20, and then on US 80 in Mineola, 1,700 direct jobs. Then they'll have another 150 or 60 jobs connected to their growers in about a 4 or 5 county area of Northeast Texas. They will have a huge impact on the economy. Their total investment just for their direct operations is $225 million. And that's one of the reasons what they put in place so far, that Smith County had a record year this past year in terms of new commercial industrial tax base growth. That and another project that TEDC worked on called GG Distribution, which took an old non-taxed U.S. Postal Service facility, which was not on the tax base. They closed about 6-7 years ago. GG's came in and bought their 100,000-square building, built a second 100,000-square-foot mirror image building, and now they employ 180 people. All of that came on the tax rolls about the same time that Sanderson started coming on the tax rolls. So two projects between them, you know, well over 2,000 primary jobs contributing to the economic growth of Smith County in general, but particularly that northeast quadrant of Smith County, which historically has been the poorest area of the county, and now is going to see a lot of economic activity.
Okay. Sanderson Farms project up and going in August of this year.
Fully operational in August. They've already got over 1,000 employees now. They started operating in early February, and they've been ramping up ever since.
Okay. And for the uninitiated, the very well-known, very busy chicken processing
company.
Yeah.
They were, when we started working with them, they were the third largest in the country after Tyson and Pilgrim's. And I think now they've taken over the number two position. Family-owned company, publicly traded, a New York Stock Exchange, really high-quality company. They pay higher starting wages, and they do something that's hardly heard of anymore in any industry. After 90 days, they will pay 75% of an employee's medical health insurance for the employee and their entire family. And then if you're there for a year and you want to finish school, get a certification, or go or start school, they'll pay 100% of that. And they're very engaged in the community.
Mm-hmm.
They get involved with supporting schools, nonprofits, all kinds of things to make the community a better place to live.
You bet. Talking about Sanderson Farms, talking to Tom Mullins, President and CEO of the Tyler Economic Development Council. I'm John Sims, and this is In Focus. Staying on the Sanderson Farms track for just a moment here, one of the more recent stories, right around the end of January, you got an $850,000 grant to fund water system improvements needed for Sanderson Farms poultry processing plant. And just one example of the different pieces that have to go into a project like this. And last October, you were honored, I believe, on the state and national level for your work, not only with Sanderson Farms, but your work with other communities and other economic development agencies around Smith and Wood County as well.
Yeah. Well, let's take those in order. First of all, the grant from the Texas Department of Agriculture, Capital Fund grant, packaged for us by a local consulting group, very accomplished group, Gary Traylor and Associates, helping us with infrastructures to support this plant. Now, Sanderson is vertically integrated. They have their own wells. They control everything from the beginning of the process to the end of the process. But it came to our attention that Sanderson could benefit from a backup water supply. There's a rural water company in that part of Smith County called Sandflat.
Mm-hmm.
They've been around for decades, and they have provided water services to residences and some smaller companies and retail businesses, and had very gradual growth. But this grant's going to allow them to put in a backup system for Sanderson that will, in the meantime, also benefit some of the residential and other commercial growth that we know is going to happen in that part of the county. So it's a win-win for everybody. Sanderson gets a backup in case something goes down with their system. Sandflat gets more infrastructure that helps them grow. Plus, it helps support more economic activity in that part of the county, which has desperately needed it for a long time.
Sure.
So that's in play. Smith County sponsored that. We're hopefully get the final approval of the grant. It's been preliminary approved at the state level, but the money hasn't been put in place yet to start the project, and that'll happen in the next month or two. Now the awards. Because this was such a complex project, it involved two counties, Smith and Wood, and three communities, Tyler, Lindale, and Mineola.
Mm-hmm.
We were recognized by the Texas Economic Development Council as the outstanding, highest impact economic development project in Texas in 2018. It's the third time that Tyler EDC has gotten that. Got it previously for our partnership with Lindale on the Target Distribution Center, and then one time in between for eight large retention projects. So we got recognized for the third time, which is very unusual in the state of Texas to have multiple awards given for economic activity. But we also got recognized for the first time by the National Economic Development Organization, IEDC, International Economic Development Council, for cross-jurisdictional collaboration. Because we worked with three different cities and two different counties to put this huge project together that'll have such a big impact economically. In fact, over 7 years, a $1.4 billion impact.
Mm. We're talking about, and talking to Tom Mullins, by the way, with the Tyler Economic Development Council on In Focus. I'm John Sims. And, of course, Sanderson Farms is an example of the kind of projects that you really focus on, bringing in large numbers of people, large numbers of workers through tax abatements.
Yeah,
that's where I was going. They don't have to be.
Yeah, we have a revolving loan fund that's worked with 15, 16 different small companies. Here's, excuse me, what they have to be is they have to be a primary employer.
Mm.
They have to be making something or providing a service that they sell outside of East Texas. They have to be helping us grow the economic pie. So you won't see us working with bringing a new restaurant to town or a new retail project or a new service facility that serves the local economy. We want someone coming in that's going to grow and diversify the economy. So whether it's big or small, that has to be the first screen. And then we work with existing companies to help them expand. We work with new young companies to help them grow. And then we work with companies like Sanderson to bring them to the area, and they'll have a big impact as a result of their investment.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody wants to start a small business in Tyler or has a small business that they want to grow, of course, the Small Business Development Center at Tyler Junior College, I know you have a strong partnership with them, but I think it's important to make the point that you're available to consult with people if they just kind of want do's and don'ts, helpful hints, and common sense about how to make that business work or make it work better than it's already working right here in the Tyler area.
I remind people all the time that for decades, the largest employer in Tyler was a homegrown business, and that was Tyler Pipe.
Mm-hmm.
It started literally in someone's garage, and at one point back in the 60s and 70s, had about 4,000 employees. Now, because of the technology, they have about 400, but they actually make more product than they used to historically in terms of soil pipe that they specialize in. But yes, we will work with a small company. We partner with the Small Business Development Center. We partner with UT Tyler and their School of Business and Technology to help companies put together a business plan, financial plan. And we even have a revolving loan fund that will invest in a business to help them grow to the next level. So, yes, we're very engaged in small business development.
You bet. Tom Mullins, Tyler Economic Development Council, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Website for more info, www.tedc.org. Phone number, 903-593-2004. 800-648-9537. You can get email information and things like that just from going to the website. You're a privately funded entity. 85% of your money comes from the private sector, and you tell me that's real important too.
It is important for a number of reasons. One is it kind of keeps us arm's length from the political nature of economic development, because you're using public incentives, you're working with the public sector and elected officials, along with industry and business leaders. So we occupy that space between the public and the private sector. And mm-hmm. as a nonprofit, nobody personally gains that's involved in our board or investing in our organization. But the community gains, because we have a more diverse economy and people working, it helps everyone. In fact, our unemployment rate is the lowest now it's been in decades. It's around 3.5%. You know, it's below the national and state averages. So people who want to work or can work are finding jobs, and more people are moving here because they know the economy is strong. So that helps the city and the county grow. And even though growth causes issues, you know, like traffic congestion in certain parts of Tyler, we'd rather deal with those kinds of issues than flat growth or negative growth.
Mm-hmm. And some of the other things that you and your team do on a day-in, pretty much on a day-in, day-out basis, just to keep the economy strong outside the basic nuts and bolts things that you've described so far, lobbying, for example, lobbying for the expansion of UT Tyler, lobbying for the Outer Loop, being involved in the implementation of the half-cent sales tax, all designed to create a stronger Tyler area, stronger economy, and a better environment for you to do the work you're doing.
Yeah, I put those things in the category of being more competitive, putting infrastructure and incentives in place that help us compete for growth. The Outer Loop was a vision of the Tyler Chamber going back to the early and mid-70s. In fact, I think it was on the front page of the Chamber's annual report, kind of a Google map showing this horseshoe type of structure coming down from I-20 near Hideaway Lake, going under Tyler, and then going back up to I-20 near UT Health Science Center. Well, it was just a dream at that point. But TxDOT came to us and said, look, if you're going to build that at the rate Tyler's growing, you're going to have to take the lead on it. So we did that. We did that with the Chamber of Commerce, the Economic Development Council, the local units of government. And finally, we're able to get that started. Now it's about 60% complete. We need to get it complete around the east side. It was very controversial. We had a lot of pushback.
It was indeed, I remember.
Oh, my gosh. We had a group named COOL formed to stop it, called, and they stood for Citizens Opposed to the Outer Loop.
Yeah.
And they just thought it was a boondog, it was too expensive, it was a road to nowhere. They used every argument they could. In fact, they probably successfully delayed its construction 10 years and ended up causing it to be a tollway.
Mm-hmm. Toll 49.
When we first started it, it was a free facility. It was called the Outer Loop, but we had to go with the toll because we had so much resistance, and funding was hard to compete for when we're going up against the huge urban areas in Texas.
Yeah.
Because they have tens of thousands more vehicles and congestion than we do, and it's hard to compete for a smaller metro area. But we finally persisted, and that got done. It was very controversial in this community. You'll remember, John, excuse me, that we had a 2+2 higher education structure here. 2 years at Tyler Junior College, 2 years junior and senior, at UT Tyler. We were part of the group, the leadership group, to try to say, look, that worked for decades, but now we're growing at a rate that we need to have a full 4-year university. Very controversial. The community was split in half over that. It took us 3 different legislative sessions to finally get Texas to authorize the 4-year structure for UT Tyler.
Mm-hmm. And now a lot of people can't remember when it was any different.
People can't remember being against the Outer Loop or Toll 49. They can't remember being against UT Tyler.
And a whole generation's grown up since a lot of this was happening.
And now look, we've become an educational destination. 23,000 full-time students. Doesn't count people getting licenses and certifications and continuing credits. This is full-time students between UT Tyler, 10,000, TJC, 11,000, and Texas College, another 1,000. Makes us an educational destination, helps us with their economic input into the economy, just the student spending, but also helps us attract companies like the last few years, Fresenius, a German medical service company,
right.
Centene, based in St. Louis, Missouri, mm-hmm. another medical-related company. They looked at all of the training going on here in this community related to medical, and they said, this is where we want to be. Centene's got almost 350 employees. Fresenius is going to have 500 employees. So those are great examples of the partnership and the economic growth that has been generated because we have this large higher educational center.
Okay, we've got a couple of minutes left in the show. It's moving quickly this morning. Wanted to quickly touch base. Along with being president and CEO of the Economic Development Council, you have the same title with the Tyler Area Chamber of Commerce. Those two agencies have been partnering on that level for many years.
Sometime
in the 90s.
Early 90s.
Yeah,
I came down here to start the Economic Development Group. Economic Development had been handled as a division of the Chamber of Commerce for years, but the leadership in the community wanted a more aggressive approach and more experienced staff, and that's how I got involved, starting Tyler Economic Development. It was a separate structure from the chamber. We talked and coordinated quite a bit, but we didn't have any kind of solid mm-hmm. responsibility with each other. But after being here 3 years, the leadership came to me and said, we'd like you also to become CEO of the chamber. And so in March of 92, I took on that responsibility. That worked because of Henry Bell III at the time, and he's still been with us. He's a fifth-generation Tylerite on both sides of his family, his mother and his father, 5 generations here. And he runs the day-to-day operations of the chamber. I'm the CEO over the chamber, visit Tyler, and we're all in one location downtown, the old Blackstone office building, and we have shared staff and shared budget items, some shared directors. It's a very unique structure. It doesn't exist in more than 3 or 4 other locations in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Most cities this size will have a CEO of a chamber, a CEO of the Development Council, and a CEO of the tourism group.
Yeah.
We have it all in one here. And it's worked well. We have common purpose in terms of we want a strong, healthy economy. We want to grow the economy, and we want to support our business sector.
Okay. About a minute left in the show, and Tom Mullins, our guest this morning on In Focus, talking about the Tyler Economic Development Council and also more than a bit about the Tyler Area Chamber.
Which I'll just add one point here, John. The Tyler Chamber over the last few years has averaged around between 2,200 and 2,500 members, which makes it the 4th largest chamber by membership in the state of Texas.
Very good. And just kind of quickly reviewing, want more information? www.tedc.org. It's all right there. 903-593-2004, the phone number, or 800-648-9537. Tom Mullins, as always, a pleasure, very educational and enlightening to visit with you this morning. Appreciate your coming by.
Thanks for having me, John. It's always great to talk to you.
Tom Mullins, Tyler Economic Development Council, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Thanks for joining us. See you again next week on In Focus.